Vegas Bad Boys Podcast presents Matt Michaels, People I Don't Hate.
So it's Matt Michaels here with Sin City Steve, and we have Sarah the Rebel, Sarah Wolf, online with us. How you doing, Sarah?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Well, we can't complain. Yeah. I think the weather's kind of changing here in Vegas. We're starting to feel the heat kind of kick up today. So,
finally.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you are a fan of that 115 degree summer, then all the power to you, sister.
I am. I moved here and I've been like angry. I thought it was going to be warm, and it's been like 40 degrees since I moved here. So I'm ready. Give me some.
So what took you on this fantastic journey of becoming a pro wrestler? Did you, as a kid, have interest into wrestling?
Yes. When I was a little kid, I was flipping through channels one day and I stopped because I thought I saw a character from Xena. And the camera pans out and I'm actually looking at China, and she's standing in a wrestling ring. And I knew about wrestling when I was really little. You know, I loved Hulk Hogan and everything, but I hadn't really watched it that much. So coming back and seeing that there were women, I was like, wait, hang on, I'm into this. So I started watching wrestling. I stopped watching around the era where puppies was being set, pretty much being set every time somebody was on the TV screen. I was kind of going through puberty around that time. Hearing people talk about women's bodies that way, when you're already kind of going through stuff where you're wondering about what your own body's doing, it just wasn't a good look. So I stopped watching wrestling again. And then I would catch it here and there, but I was never as dedicated to it as I was during the time with Luna Vachon and China and Miss Jackie. That was really my era, and I loved it. Stopped watching it. And then I was at E3, which is a big video game convention. I used to work in the video game industry. And I met Xavier Woods from the WWE. We started to talk, and he told me that it's not like it used to be. And so you don't have to be a supermodel to be a wrestler, because that was something I never even tried. I had my idea, right? I was going to be Queen Bee. I was going to have Bumblebee-themed gear. Like, I had everything planned. But I was like, oh, I'm not tall and muscly, and I don't have big old boobs, and I'm not pretty, so I can't be a wrestler. And so he and I got to talking, and he put me on to, like, Dana Brooke and Bayley, who both had body types and faces that weren't really the norm back then. Right. And so I started watching a little more. I fell back into love with wrestling, and he told me that I could just sign up and go to a school. So I Googled a school. I went to my very first show, my very first wrestling show, which was Raw in Anaheim. When we got back to the car, there was a flyer for Santino Bros on the car, and that was the school I found when I Googled. So I signed up the next week.
Wow. Wow. That's pretty awesome. Yeah. I mean, how cool is it that it kind of was serendipity that, you know, all these things fell together. You started training at Santino Brothers, and recently we had the pleasure of talking to one Halston Body, and Halston said that you were the one who turned him on to Santino Brothers, A, and B, that you would show up at work all, you know, like sore and achy. And he was wondering what the hell is going on with this girl. Is that something that you just have now fond memories looking back on, the fact that, you know, you're training, then you're going to work, people are wondering, why is this girl putting herself through all this, you know, pain is of becoming a professional wrestler, and the fact that now you are a professional wrestler?
It's so funny that he brought that up, because the other day I had a memory of going into that job and like being unable to move fast enough so that people like knew something was wrong to me because I was physically unable to walk at a normal speed. And I was actually trying to remember why that was. And so that actually answers that question, because I couldn't remember. Oh, it was wrestling training. I think it's been very fulfilling for me, because I had one whole career. I did the video game and the geek thing. I had a career. And then I followed this crazy passion dream and started training to become a wrestler. And I get people hit me up probably every single day from my old life going, I'm so freaking proud of you. And I'm so amazed because I watched you say, hey, I'm going to go do this. And then you went and did it. And I think that's something that is very relatable because we all know people who say they want to do something or they should do something. But it's a lot more rare to meet people who follow through and actually go and do that thing and then end up doing it pretty well. So it's given me a bigger boost than anything else because when I'm a bit of a perfectionist and when I look at my work, I'm never happy with it. I'm never happy with my wrestling. But hearing from other people how excited they are and how they've seen me on TV or, yeah, I know you from WOW, you know, that all feels really good to me and it helps me get through the day.
Without a doubt. And now, Sarah, with the rise of all women's wrestling promotions and even women headlining WrestleMania, is it safe to say that women's wrestling is finally here to stay and can stand on its own merits and can compete and be an equal to the male side of the competition?
So I always like to point this out when that question is asked. During World War II, women's wrestling was way bigger than male's wrestling. And the highest paid athlete in the U.S. was a women's wrestler. So, and if you go back and you watch those clips, women were doing all the things that we take to think of now as like modern wrestling. We forget because we grew up in a time when women's wrestling was garbage. And a lot of that was because states made rules against women's wrestling. A lot of companies, you know, fought against it. So to me, when I look at it now, it feels like we're finally back where we should be. I even think we're still a little bit further behind. It's still the case where you can watch a 3-hour show and there's only two women's matches on it. But we finally have enough tools to show the companies besides WWE. So someone can tune in and they can watch WOW on Access. They can go to Fight TV and watch Empower Wrestling. They can go to Twitch and they can watch Glam. So even if WWE doesn't want to step up and give women the amount of time they deserve, all these other companies are, and we finally are at the place where we have the technology to still get that into people's homes. So I'm really excited about everything that's going on right now.
Do you think that...
Without a doubt.
With so many more opportunities now, because of the fact that the women's evolution has kind of, you know, caught fire and kind of gave a mainstream perspective of what women can actually do as wrestlers, not as women wrestlers, but just as wrestlers, that inevitably, whether it's AEW or WWE, they might actually consider doing a women's only weekly show.
I mean, I guess on the one hand, that would be really bad for shows like WOW because and then we would lose a success special. But on the other hand, it would be a really big coup for women. But I just think they've had the opportunity. And they even would rather try to have 205 Live, you know, than to try and have an all-women show. And I think that kind of speaks volumes to what they feel. And like I said, to have a 3-hour or 2-hour show and only have two women's matches and half the time the second match like has something happen so that you don't even get to see the match. If you even get two matches, it doesn't really put any faith in me that they will finally do right by women. And although I did hear recently a friend did not get a job at WWE as a writer because he was a male. So I'm hoping that they're finally going to hire a woman writer and maybe that will help them with their ability to tell compelling stories for women because we already know from their past that WWE had women like Jazz and Jacqueline and let them go because they were like, no, we don't know what to do with you, you know? So I just don't have faith in the big companies personally, but if they do, I will be happily surprised.
Most definitely. And so you mentioned the certain things that make WOW really, really special. How has your time with WOW been? I mean, as I look over that roster, I see, you know, a lot of really, really strong talents. And quite honestly, I see you as one of the most standout talents on there because you've been able to not just deliver high quality in-ring work, but also because of your character work. So how has that time been in WOW?
Oh, thank you for the kind words. So when one day, a long time ago, I was cutting a promo. Eli Everfly was filming it. When I finished, he said, "Wow, you're like a glow girl." And I almost started crying because in my heart, I was like, that's all I want to be. I wish that Glow is still here because I want to be this over-the-top character. I want to be a bad guy. I want to, you know, have storylines and blah, blah, blah. And then I found out about WOW. And WOW has actually been around for a few years now. It's just that they just got the TV deal recently, and that's why people are really hearing about them. But getting to work in a company where I can say, hey, this is the sorts of things I'm comfortable with. Here are the things I'm uncomfortable with. And they can go back, okay, well, this is the story we're thinking. Okay, what if we did, you know, like there's such a collaboration, first of all. Second of all, they're not telling the story of, oh, she stole my boyfriend and so I'm going to fight her. Or, oh, she was my best friend and she betrayed me, so I'm going to fight her. Like, we all actually get our own interesting, like, storylines and personalities and characters. And what happens at WOW is they work with us so closely that they realize who they can trust to do what. And so every single time I would go to the ring at WOW, I'd get a microphone handed to me and someone would say, David says cut a promo. Hmm. David McLean just trusted me that much that nice. Anytime I was walking out to the ring, I could cut a promo, or when I was leaving, I could cut a promo, and he knew that he could trust me to do that. How many companies will let you work on the fly like that or have that kind of faith in their female talent to cut promos even? You know, so that's been a really amazing experience for me. I'm not saying it's perfect because anytime you get a large, and the roster at WOW is very large, a large group of women together, you're going to have conflicts, a large group of people, sorry, period. You're going to have conflicts and whatnot. But being able to be around women who've been in the industry a long time, such as Havoc, and then being around inspiring newcomers who don't have any sort of jadedness to them yet, like Lioness, you know, getting to be with these women really helped me and helped me have confidence in myself because I really had a hard time with my own self-confidence as a wrestler.
You know, speaking about that, I think that's a fascinating aspect is self-confidence. Is self-confidence something that you as a, you know, person in your life have, you know, dealt with, or has it been one of those things where it was more so you're confident in who you are, but just grasping that character side of it was more of, you know, building up that kind of confidence? Because I myself as an actor find that I'm like the 100% most confident person as an actor. Put me in that situation, I'm great. As a human being, I am the most insecure person on the fucking planet.
I'm actually the opposite. As a human being person, I'm 100% confident. I'm like, I could score super high on the self-esteem test. Like, I believe in myself. I know who I am. I know what I stand for. I could get arrested. I could get fired. I could get, you know, like I could get attacked. Like anything could happen to me and I would still feel very strong in who I am. And yeah, those things have happened. I have always stood up for myself, my beliefs. But as a wrestler, on the other hand, I'm going to use a different example to kind of help like grasp it for people who aren't wrestlers. If you were like a gifted kid in school and everything kind of came easy to you, and then you went to college and you had to take a math class and something you've never taken before, and suddenly you're really bad at it. Well, now you think you're just not good at math. The truth is you might be fine at math. You just have to learn and you're not used to learning. So this is how I am with wrestling. Yeah. I'm not a natural at it. It doesn't just come to me, even though I've been watching it, you know, since I was a little kid. The movements, the flow, the being able to convince myself to be upside down, it's okay, just be upside down. All of these things did not come naturally to me. And so it was a huge blow to my self-esteem because I'm used to things being easy. The character work, very easy, especially at WOW, because they already had a name for the character and they had a basic background. So super easy to do all that. The problem was believing in my skills as a wrestler enough to go out there and confidently say, yeah, I can do what you need and I'm going to get the crowd to like me. That was where I struggle more.
Most definitely. And, you know, obviously, there's been obviously a lot of emphasis as of late on, you know, like what we had talked about, making sure that, that women's matches are on par with men's matches and things of that nature. What, out of curiosity, what is your viewpoint and your stance on intergender wrestling?
I like it as long as it tells a story that seems within the bounds of realistic. And I say within the bounds of realistic because when you have a match with the Big Show versus Rey Mysterio, I'm generally not going to believe that Rey Mysterio stands a chance, right? However, right. when we've created the world that we have within wrestling, that world says that Rey Mysterio is very fast. Maybe he can use his speed and ingenuity to take down this monster. Whereas if we were just in real life, we'd be like, hell no, there's no way. So I don't mind intergender matches as long as they're within the realm of believability. Like if Charlotte Flair wrestled Kofi Kingston, I would have no problem believing that match. Charlotte is a tall, statuesque woman. Kofi is a man who's on the slender side. They look like they might even be within the same weight class, right? But if I were to see like AJ Lee versus Big E, then I might be more like, okay, Big E should be selling this a certain way. You know what I mean? Like, I just want it to be realistic. And not realistic as in perfectly real. I just need, if we're going to have the big person versus the small person, I want to see that story told. That's really my only concern. And it falls in intergender matches. It falls in, like, matches with big size differences. So I kind of treat them both the same way.
Yeah, that's a
really good call out.
Yeah, that's a very good way to look at it. With your, you know, developing and, you know, you've had some really good opportunities. One of the things I'm very proud to see you doing is working with Ohio Valley. How has that been with having such a wonderful person around you like Al Snow?
It's been pretty great. So basically the booker for OVW came to a WOW show. He heard me cut a promo. We watched my match, and we started talking backstage. And he really just liked that. I've had very good training, both at Santino Bros, at WOW, at New Japan. Trainers who really care not just about you being able to do the moves, but you having a respect for the business.
Yeah.
And when we got to speaking, and he realized I had that respect, he was very open to me coming to OVW. I went like a month later and wrestled there, and just getting to sit at the learning tree. With Al Snow and getting his thoughts, and he doesn't just tell you the answers. He kind of makes you figure out the answer or answer for yourself. But when you get it right, you feel really good because you're like, whoa, he knew I knew that.
Yeah.
Like, so it's been really awesome. Like we had a cage match, and something happened. I won't go all into it, but basically because of a politics thing, it didn't quite go the way I would have necessarily wanted it to go. And he said, well, what was the first thing you should have done when you stepped in the cage? And I told him the first thing I would have done. And he said, that's exactly what you should have done. So as a young wrestler, when you know, like I said, he asks it in such a way that you get to feel like, maybe I do know what I'm doing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's, you know what? And that's such a good observation on your behalf, because I think if there was one category you could put Al in, that is, he is a professor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he doesn't come out and force something upon you. He doesn't come out and just tell you something. He allows you to express yourself and learn, you know, he finds the way to make you figure out that you're learning for yourself, and that, you know, it's remarkable to see you getting those chances and to see you learning from that kind of mind and the other, you know, people that, I mean, you got Callie's there, and you got, you know, Tony Gunn, you got so many good people that are around OVW that it's like you were lucky enough through your progression to kind of get an invitation to come learn from a master class. And that's awesome.
It really is. And they're so generous with what they have to teach you and with working with you. And I was just very lucky that they happened to need more women. And that's really, you know, what it kind of boils down to is they had a need and just right place, right time. They saw me and saw that I fit the need. And of course I paid it forward. I brought my girl Maserati from out here with me the next time. And now they like her too. So, you know, like, we're just like, who can we bring next? We're going to just take over OVW.
Well, I got a feeling Sandra Moon is, you know, coming on that trip at some point, because she's another one who really is, you know, learning. And I think that, you know, she kind of has that same respect that, you know, you have.
Yeah, definitely. We're hoping. Keep your fingers crossed.
So, I saw that you actually were recently on a Micromania midget wrestling show. How did that go? Describe for our listeners how that experience was.
So, it was amazing, first of all. Back in the day, like, this was considered an incredibly carny version of wrestling, is to have little people and women. And Billy Blade's company, Micromania Tour, kind of, like, embraces that. And so it's a throwback almost to when that was a thing. And so it's not like other wrestling shows where it's taken very seriously and everyone in the crowd is going to be judging, you know, whether or not you know how to do your leapfrog properly. No, it's usually people are like, what the hell is this? This sounds kind of fun. Let's get drunk and watch little people wrestle. So I kind of knew going in it was going to be not like other shows, but I was just blown away by how thankful the fans were. The people who come to that show really appreciate the level of athleticism it takes to do what you do. And me, myself, as a wrestler, watching little people do it is even more astounding, because I know how hard it was for me. And I don't have some of the health problems that many of them have. You know, some people are born with their spine fused together. Or, you know, they're kind of one of them was actually deaf.
Wow.
So, you know, there's all these extra, it's not just, oh, they're very short. You know, they have all this extra stuff they have to kind of overcome to follow their dream to be a wrestler, and they're good too. So it was cool to sit there and learn, because a lot of them were veterans who had, you know, more than a decade of experience. So they were always willing to share feedback. And like I said, just being around a crowd that was so warm and welcoming and very happy to even be there, versus some of the crowds in wrestling can be very, what's the word? They're so focused on showing how much they know and how much they're part of the inside, that it's not as much fun for us as performers, because it's like they can be very focused on pulling the curtain back.
Right.
Whereas this audience loved that the curtain was there, did not want the curtain pulled back. So it was nice.
That's awesome.
You know, looking at your Twitter feed, and it's just, you're so entertaining to follow, including the, hi, new followers. I drink both pickle juice and Vienna sausage juice out of the jar/can, just in case you mistook me for someone sexy. I mean, that's brilliant.
I literally did it today too.
But you know what, as I scroll down just a little bit after, under that, you had a repost from Danny Fernandez. And Danny, I've been Facebook friends. I don't know her personally, but Facebook friends for years with her. And I followed her whole journey. And one of the things I love about this woman is that she'll post, you know, various things that she experiences through some of the unbelievably crazy male followers that decide that they have opinions about why she shouldn't or can't or is accomplishing things. And, you know, it's very interesting to me in terms of some of that stuff that I read, that people would actually, you know, have the balls to say this because it's just fucked up. How is it with you in terms of the followers that you have, and being a woman who's, you know, definitely a successful person? Are you finding that there are some assholes out there who try to, you know, just rip you because you're someone who is doing what you love to do and this person's got no fucking better thing to do than to just throw something out at you.
Well, first, before I answer that, I do want to tell a little Danny story because I love her. And so we were going on a show together, and it was one of her shows, and she said, how should I introduce you? And I said, well, I don't really have a job right now. I don't know. And then she stares at me for a second, and she goes, Sarah, you're an author. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm an author. And then she lists off a few other things that, you know, you're a podcast host and you're a wrestler, blah, 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 you know. But it just, my mind went blank because I was like, I don't have a job right now. I'm not really doing anything. I'm not worth something, you know. And she's always good for a reminder, like, hey, you are doing things and you are worthy regardless of what desk you're tied to at this exact moment. So shout out to Danny for always keeping my brain on straight. But as far as the fans and the messages, it has gotten way worse, definitely. I thought it was bad being a woman in the video game industry, and it was bad. You know, I had a website called Nerdy But Flirty. It's run by someone else now, and it's a little more sporadic, but it's still there if you want to go. I moderated it, so I used to see all the comments, but I would delete the rude ones. So no one else knows the kind of comments that we got on that website. But it would be from people just mad that we, like, it wouldn't be anything we'd said negatively even. You know, like, I think I did a video once, like, oh, Mortal Kombat, you might be surprised to know the latest Mortal Kombat is actually really, really not sexist. Let me give you some examples of why it's not sexist. You know, it is more for people who kind of were used to the old way of like, okay, you know, these characters are showing a lot of skin, blah, blah, blah. The kind of comments I would get on that, calling me a fucking idiot and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I'm not saying it. Did you watch the video? So I thought it could not possibly be worse than that. But now what's happening is I'm getting fans who in their mind really think that what they're saying to me is either constructive criticism that they're allowed to say to me, or is something that I should be flattered to hear. And the second one is kind of hard to deal with because I don't, if you go look at my latest picture, I posted on Instagram right now. It's one of my, it's from my Patreon prints. And I think there's like three different dudes on there essentially saying like, you should be my girl. And How do you respond to that? Because you can't say, hey, man, I could never be drunk enough to ever consider dating a troglodyte troll like you who lives in a cave. But you can't say that because they're your fans and they like you, right? So it's almost like harder now because you'll get someone who messages you every single day, you know, begging you to just give them a chance and then turning on you if you dare to say anything like, oh, you only care about this, you only care about that. Hello, person, I'm a stranger.
Yeah.
You don't know me at all. So this would be like my message for that is that what you see portrayed in the ring or even outside of the ring at the wrestling show, that's not who I am as a whole person. And that's kind of back to my tweet about Vienna sausages and pickle juice. you know, like this idea that you can fall in love with someone that you don't know at all. Someone who you people will say, oh, I love that you're so hardcore. You love punk music and you love rock. And I'm like, I didn't know who Danzig was until last month. I've seen the Misfits logos everywhere. I don't know anything about them. You know, like I had to be shown they were on WCW back there. Maybe it was WCW. I don't remember. They were on a wrestling show and it was pretty cool. Yeah. But like, I didn't know that until last month. I'm not who you think I am. And so it's really frustrating when you get these messages from people that start to dive into the crazy end. You know, some of them are just nice. Oh, I think you're beautiful. Okay, thank you. You know, but some of them get like really creepy. I want to impregnate you. That's why I didn't remember the creepy zone. Like, why?
I mean, I just pulled up the latest picture you put up, and the first thing that came up, the way my browser popped it up, staring me right in the face is, dang, I'm missing out. The only thing that would be better is being your arm piece. I would show you off to everyone.
Yeah, and I'm like, how do I respond to that? Yeah, you better, you fuck. I'd be the hottest bitch you ever got with. You better show me off. Like, what did you say? I just buy my fucking prints, guys. Just buy my prints.
No, it's, you know, it's, it really is fascinating. It's amazing. I was casting a game show called Killer Karaoke with Steve-O for True TV. And this is back in 2011. And through our auditions, the producers, the network, just happened to see me. And they were like, oh, who's that? We want to use him. And I became this disgusting distraction to people who would be singing. And we had this where we would strip. And the thing is that I'm a 400 pound, you know, guy, and I cast another 400 pound guy. And basically we were covered in what was called liquid ass. And it was wonderful because we got exactly what we needed, which was the person freaking out that they were being, you know, danced around by these, you know, disgusting, fat, sweaty, smelly guys. Well, I never think about it, but I just decided one day to look it up on, you know, the wonderful YouTube out there. And I just sat and I just wanted to read the comments, not because,
Oh yeah.
It was amazing. It was like anything you could think of, and 20 times what you couldn't think of was thought of about, you know, just derailing you and breaking you down as a person just mm-hmm. because of a physical feature. We didn't even say anything. We just danced and, you know, and were, you know, disgusting, but that was our job. And it was fascinating to me to watch these people say how disgusting we were. And I'm like, well, then I did my job. You know, right. It's like, that's the funniest thing. You're right. People don't know you. And mm-hmm. they see these images of you. And I mean, it's unreal, you know, whether, you know, it's, you know, I mean, the impregnating one is, I mean, that just makes my mind, because I think I read that the other day. How funny is that, that someone would actually just like say that? And I think you shot back like, I don't want to be pregnant.
Yeah, that was my comeback. Yeah. No, because like, again, it's something that I actually talk about a lot, though. That's what made me extra angry, is I talk about all the time how I don't want kids and I don't want to get married. So when people who are supposedly my fans are like, I want to impregnate you, and I'm like, sir, please do 5 minutes of research before you come in here telling me what you're going to do to me.
Oh, man. I just, you know, and that... And that, again, it makes me respect you even more in terms of the fact that you can look at this and still have the good spirits of, you know what, people are just fucking stupid.
I will just say, like, there are so many great wrestling fans and great friends that I've made online that I know that this is just like the idiots section, you know? So I know this isn't all men. I know this isn't all wrestling fans. And I think that's what helps me be able to find it funny. 90% of the time it's funny to me.
Without
a doubt. And you know, you had mentioned, obviously working in the gaming industry. So I did also see that, that you stream pretty regularly on Twitch. What games are you into right now?
Right now I'm playing The Outer Worlds, Borderlands 3, and The Witcher 3. Those are the main ones that I'm playing. Back in the day when I was streaming, it was mostly always Dragon Age. I kind of took a break when I started wrestling training because I came home from wrestling training so mentally exhausted that I couldn't even talk. I would just sit, and finally I had to be like, okay, guys, the stream's not very fun if I'm not talking. So I think I quit for maybe 2 to 3 years. So I'm just starting it back up. And a lot has changed, but it's really been, really the best thing was that when I started streaming again, my old crew found me like almost immediately. So we had a good time from there.
That's awesome. Now, you had mentioned The Witcher 3, which is honestly one of my favorite games of all time, no joke.
It's just so in depth, and I've probably sunken in about 150 hours plus into that game. Have you had a chance to check out the Netflix series yet?
So the Netflix series is why I started playing again, because I've always been a Dragon Age fan. That's my kind of RPG, like the main type that I would like. I got The Witcher 3 originally because I was like, oh, RPGs, I love them. I started playing it, and I was like, oh my god, this is the hardest game I've ever played in my life. I can't kill anything. People are killing me. I don't like this guy. The horse's name is Roach. What a disgusting name for a horse. I'm angry about everything. So I stopped playing almost immediately. And I just like got my ass handed to me so many times. I was like, I can't do this. So anyway, fast forward many years. Because that was a few years ago, I think, when it came out. At least two.
Yeah, it's been out for a while.
I see The Witcher on Netflix, and I think to myself, oh, this looks stupid. Because it's Superman in a wig. But right. I'm going to give it a shot. Oh, my gosh. I think the show's amazing. And everyone who says they hate it, I'm like, I don't know what the fuck show you watch. Because I loved it. I fell in love with Henry Cavill. I've never been in love with Henry Cavill before, but now I'm like, so where's Henry Cavill at today? He's going to grunt at me and say, and I'm going to be like, oh. So I loved it so much. I was like, I need more. And so I found out I still had The Witcher. I was like, oh, I guess I never sold this. And so my friend told me, hey, you know you can play on easy, right? So I never play games on easy, so I forgot that easy existed. But I was like, yeah. So I put the game on easy, and I probably put about 50 hours into it so far.
Nice. That's awesome.
What, you know, you said through your rebel persona, you've found... you know, someone like Danzig, who you really didn't know much about before. What music are you into? Not Sarah the Rebel, but, you know, you as Sarah, what are your kind of preferences in music?
So my favorite music of all time, I'd say, is Prince. And I say Prince instead of a genre, because Prince was like 80 genres unto himself.
Yeah.
I really like funk music, R&B, old school, neo soul. I like The Weeknd a lot for modern artists. Surprisingly, Ariana Grande has like a lot of good music. I really didn't think she would because she's so poppy, but I really like a lot of her music.
No kidding, right? No kidding. Yeah. I was the same way. I didn't think, like, I just thought, you know, I'm not going to like, and I'm like, oh, damn. And she's getting better as a songwriter.
Yeah, she's pretty freaking great. And I'm like, oh, I'm surprised. I'm an Ariana Grande girl. Go figure. But so I'm from Hampton, Virginia. I am, if you look that up, you'll know it's a certain kind of city. I'm mixed. I grew up with a mixed family. Like I never knew about punk or rock music that much other than like Linkin Park. I didn't do D&D until I moved to LA and found someone who, like, I'm not the person that I was growing up at all either. And so sometimes I don't know, like I kind of discovered this role, and dating Tyler Bateman was what introduced me to punk as a genre, period. And I learned, I don't like the vast majority of it, gotta be honest. But you know, like, oh my gosh, what was his favorite band? Flogging Molly's? Are they a punk band?
Flogging Molly. Yeah. Yeah. Flogging.
Okay.
Molly,
yeah.
Sure.
I don't like it. Don't like it at all.
Did he ever turn you on to?
Cat's yelling at me.
Did he ever turn you on to the Dropkick Murphys?
Yes, he loves the Dropkick Murphys.
I figured when you said Flogging Molly, I figured, yeah, he's got to be into Dropkicks as well. So that is so.
Oh yeah,
funny.
You play all of them, and it sounds like Irish music, except with like just a little bit of something added to it that makes me not like it.
That's actually
my thing, but I will say I've learned I like a lot of heavy metal. And I like, oh, this is embarrassing apparently, but it turns out all of the songs I liked from the past are called new metal. I like new metal a lot.
So
and apparently that means I'm a bad person.
So is new metal, is that like, would that be considered like Nickelback?
I'm not sure no. if Nickelback is claimed by any genre, but I did like Nickelback when they were popular.
No, no, nu metal would be like Limp Bizkit and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
So
there's a song that's like Korn. Butterfly, something like that. Korn, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. So I have to hear it to know, because I don't know their names or anything. They would just be things where, oh, I'm sick of hearing the same four songs on the R&B channel. Let me change it over and hear the same four songs on rock, but I don't know what any of them are. I actually, so when I discovered Danzig, I messaged my white friend from high school, and I said, hey, girl, on Twitter in front of everyone. I was like, hey, girl, how come you never told me about Danzig? And she said, who's Danzig? And then she came back later and she said, okay, I've done some Googling. I listened to emo music at that time period. So sorry I let you down.
Crazy. Speaking of Danzig, he's about to release an album of all Elvis Presley covers.
Oh, I bet that's going to sound amazing.
It's very intriguing because apparently this has been something that he's been teasing for about 5 years. He's been working on it. And wow. Yeah. And the thing is that the reason he's doing it, it's not to be, you know, ironic or anything. It's because Elvis inspired him when he was young. And it's his giving back, essentially. And that's kind of cool when you find these different genres and these different artists that, you know, everything is influenced by everything else. And that's so cool. And obviously, you know, even with wrestling, the cool thing is like you said, Luna Vachon. Well, Luna Vachon, talk about, you know, your original punk rock princess in pro wrestling. Holy shit. She was ahead of her time by 20 years.
Absolutely. I think if I could have like one wish that was not about myself, I would wish I could teleport Luna into the present, because she'd be kicking ass right now instead of having to job out to Sable every day. She could job out to somebody way cooler than Sable.
Yeah, exactly. working with Bateman, you guys, you know, you guys dated, so that's one thing. Was that something that helped the chemistry? Because watching you guys on screen, it was a very well-made match.
Thank you. So I've had several people ask us to make porn after watching us wrestle, which I think means that we did our job really well. And they were women too, by the way. It was women who would come up to us and say that all the time. So we only became a thing because we were a couple. So I was going to the Santino's Advocates class, which I had bullied Bob into joining. I don't know. He probably said it in a nice way, but like every day I saw Bob at work, Halston Body, excuse me.
Right.
Every day that I saw Halston Body at work, I'd be like, sign up.
He made it very much more sweet and endearing. Like, I would have never guessed that was your MO, was, did you sign up? That's awesome.
I knew he'd do that because that's the kind of person he is. He's always looking at the good in everyone. But so he was in that class. Kathy Campanelli, who's now Kat Marino NXT, she was in that class. Mm-hmm. That's where I met her. So going through that class, I was working on my character, and I thought maybe I could be like Jake Atlas's manager. That was kind of what I had my heart set on, either Jake Atlas or Dom Kubrick. And I thought for Jake, I'd dress like a stripper and be kind of like an Instagram influencer kind of chick. And because he was heel still at that time.
Right.
And then for Dom, I was like, we'll be like Harley Quinn and Joker. Like, it'll be so cool. Dom Kubrick, for anyone who doesn't know, he's a rising star. You're going to hear his name a lot more, I think.
Yep.
But Eli came to me and he said, okay, so what do you think about managing Tyler Bateman? And I said, I think that's stupid. Tyler Bateman has been wrestling for 17 years. He's an amazing wrestler and he's amazing on the mic and he can cut a promo and he has all this character. Like, he doesn't need anything. A manager is usually because somebody needs something. And he's like, oh, well, that's who I was going to put you with. And I was like, damn it. And then he says, well, I was thinking of doing a storyline like Lita and Edge, like a really romantic storyline. And I was like, wait, nope, I'm back in. Because my favorite stuff in wrestling is romance storylines when they're good. Like, she's been kidnapped by the Dark Lord and you have to save her before she comes the bride of the undead. Like, that's my shit. I love that in wrestling. Or like the whole Mamacita with Eddie and Ty. Yeah. Like, I love that terrible. Like, add romantic garbage into my storyline whenever you want. So then I was like, wait, never mind, I'm in. And so we did it as his ex-girlfriend and him were having a feud. And I was like the new person who'd come in to help him like fuck her up. And so it was like insult to injury kind of thing. And it was just an amazing experience working with somebody who has 17 years of wrestling experience. He's able, it was kind of like I got a cheat book, to be honest, compared to other people that I went through training with, because I had someone I could turn to at any moment and be like, what about this? Or what if this happens? Or what if that happens? And, you know, he could draw from this huge pool of experience and help me figure it out. And every time we got to do promos, they were pretty freaking great. So, and he helped me with that. My very first promos were not good because I didn't understand what I was supposed to be doing. But that he was able to help me understand, like, this is the point of your promo and this is what you should kind of be getting across. And yeah, so I think the chemistry was all real, and kudos to Eli Everfly for putting us together, because I absolutely did not want to do that.
That's awesome.
And then that's Steve's shutdown moment of the day. You just broke him. So as you're growing and as you're becoming more of a, I don't want to say veteran per se, but you know, as you're getting more experience under your belt, where do you see yourself going in terms of, do you see yourself continuing to, you know, move up the rungs and maybe, you know, hopefully end up, you know, around an ROH or, you know, AEW or a WWE? And would you possibly consider becoming a trainer in the future? Because I think you've got a lot of, you know, knowledge and a way about you that would be beautifully suited to pass it along to, you know, young kids who are learning.
I would absolutely love to be a trainer one day. I find that I really, really enjoy teaching the basics of wrestling. Like, you know, the bottom rung building blocks of wrestling.
Yeah.
I really enjoy teaching people that. So hopefully I get to be a trainer one day. as far as going anywhere else. So here's the complicated thing. I think that WOW is 100% the perfect company for me. Yeah. And as long as WOW exists, I don't actually want to go anywhere else, because while it may be a bigger payday at one of the other companies, getting to actually be involved in interesting storylines, getting to cut promos, getting TV time, you can't beat WOW for that for women's wrestling right now. Like, you just can't. You know, we all cut promos. We all do backstage things. We all do backstage interviews. We all get multiple matches. Like, I can't think of another company I'd rather work for, to be perfectly honest. That said, my goal, so I kind of reached my goal a little too quickly. So now when people are like, what's your goal? I'm like, I don't know that I have one, because what I wanted to do is I wanted to wrestle for WOW. Okay, boom, I'm wrestling for WOW. Okay, I want to get paid to travel and wrestle places. Okay, boom, I'm getting paid to travel and wrestle places. I've been to several states now. People are flying me out to wrestle. I paid my rent with wrestling money. Right. These were all goals I had set for myself, and I'm doing them, and I'm only a year and a half in, so now I'm kind of like, crap, maybe set too easy goals for myself. So I'm still trying to figure it out. You know, I don't want to work at WWE. I know that for a fact. I watch what the people in the NXT roster have to go through, and I got to be perfectly honest with you, I hate working out. I hate it.
Sure.
With a passion. And if that was my 9-to-5 job, was to work out, fuck that. I don't want that as my job. So I don't want to go to WWE. I know that for sure. I think Impact is doing some really interesting storytelling.
Yeah.
I just look more at the backstage and the politics of certain places, and I think it just doesn't appeal to me. But if I were to go anywhere besides WOW that was considered a big-name company, it would probably be Impact. But you never know. Companies change over months, over years. They get different prerogatives. Mm-hmm. I mean, AEW, my only problem with AEW is I don't really feel like they're storytelling right now, except for like their very top people in the company. I don't feel like we're getting a lot of the any kind of storylines for everyone else. And so I wouldn't really be interested in going there currently, but that might change in the future.
Well, you know, it's very interesting too, because I love that perspective. That's very true. And mm-hmm. what's, you know, the thing when you're looking at a company like AEW is, okay, so they sign you, they put you on TV, and then because there's no storytelling, the fans just dump all over you. It's almost, it's almost like a gateway. If you go to any, you know, even if you went to NXT, if the fans on a bigger scope aren't relating, then, you know, all it is just floodgates of, you know, hate because...
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting about you and your personality, and I think your smarts, is that I think that no matter where you go or what you do or what profession it is even, it seems like you would be able to take that and make it the next rung to what you're doing.
Well, thank you for saying so. I mean, and we'll see. I just don't know yet. I'm still trying to figure it all out, but I think it's an exciting time in the world of wrestling. And I really, really hope that WOW I just hope that WOW keeps getting bigger and bigger, because it's really the company that I love working for.
One last thing that I've got to ask. Obviously, we've learned a lot about you so far with this interview. Is there anything that any of our listeners would be shocked or surprised to know about Sarah the Rebel that we haven't already discussed today?
We haven't already discussed. That makes it tricky. this is usually shocking to people. I'm half black.
I only know that because obviously I've got all your social media, but...
Steve, were you the one who texted or messaged her that you wanted to impregnate her? That's awful,
you know,
dude.
Guilty as fucking charged, Michael. Guilty as fucking charged.
Stalker.
No, not at all. But no, that's one of those things that's a testament to you that you fleshed out the characters as much to where, you know, even ethnicity is something that might catch fans or people that think that they know all about you, kind of like what you were talking about earlier. These people that see your pictures and your videos online and stuff like that, and they may see your events and your appearances, but they know absolutely nothing about you, the person. And I think that's one of the things that we like to do, is we like to give a platform so that people will follow Sarah, not necessarily Sarah the Rebel, not necessarily, you know, Razor or any of these personas, but that they will follow you and they'll have a vested interest in you, the person.
Definitely. Well, it's pretty cool. I mean, yeah, so it's something that definitely affects, I think, anyone who reads between the lines about what I post. See, I'm very vocal mm-hmm. about, you know, diversity, multiculturalism, equality. Yeah. It just matters a lot to me because of the way I grew up and the things I've seen. And it does affect that, but then it only comes out in wrestling in weird moments. Like my friends will send a gift to me of a moment where I'm supposed to be Sarah Wolf, who's this quiet goth, and I'm doing the whole 180 degree neck swivel at Jamie Iovine, and I'm like, oh, I didn't mean to do that. but it's been fun and interesting to create these characters. I'm actually still working on the Sarah the Rebel character. She's not a nice. Finished product yet. Tiamat is a finished product. Razor is a finished product. Sarah Wolf was a finished product. Sarah the Rebel is changing and developing as we speak. So who knows? She may end up going closer to the way of the ghetto goth. I don't know. But for now, she's just very cheerfully evil.
Well, with that in mind, we did talk about social media. So if you can throw out your social media handles so people can follow you, as Steve does, very closely, apparently.
definitely. So you can find me on Patreon at Sarah the Rebel. Sarah has an H. And that's a great place to go to connect with me. People get lots of really cool gifts for signing up. And then everywhere else online, Ko-fi, ko-fi.com, Twitter, Instagram, everywhere you could look for me, I'm Sarah the Rebel. Twitch, yeah, it's same, twitch.tv/Sarah the Rebel. Pretty much, and if you're curious, if I'm on a site, type in Sarah the Rebel, I'm probably there.
Awesome. Well, Sarah, we appreciate your time. It's been a wonderful opportunity to talk with you, and we'd love to have you back in the future to give fans an idea of what is going on, and continue all the success, and we just can't wait to see where you go.
Thanks. This is a great time.
Please follow her on social media. Watch her on WoW. Keep your eyes peeled for any further wrestling appearances she has. You won't be disappointed. And she is definitely one of the people I don't hate.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.